Unfortunately, it is the end of an era for many longtime Detroit radio listeners.
End of a long time standing show in broadcast history here in Detroit.
You're fired.
Been on the air for more than 22 years.
You're fired.
The last 22 years have been nothing but pure fun.
You're fired.
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 I'm back.
So, do we say this?
Good grief.
Well, yeah, baby.
Welcome back.
I know.
It's a tough life being a Cub fan.
Welcome back.
Hey, I heard you missed us. We're back.
Hey.
Welcome back. Oh, would you look at that?
Drew? Guys, where's Drew? Drew?
My God.
And hello, everybody. It is the Drew and Mike podcast, Monday version, starring Drew. Yes, a drop. He's here. Mark's here. My partner from our, a little over two-year run on Sports Radio 105.1, where Mark still is doing the morning show with Sean and Maz.
Yep. I don't mind doing two shows in one day.
Yeah,
especially on a Monday. Like, who does that?
I know, maybe even a second one this week, possibly. We'll see about that.
Anything to get out of the house.
I'm looking forward to this, though. I miss the old show. I mean, I miss working with you guys.
Yeah.
It's been interesting with Clark and Charlie, but I liked that show. I really was enjoying myself. You know, sports just wasn't the right thing for me. Not 100% of the time. It just wasn't going to go, but you guys are doing fine. I actually like hearing you with Sean and Maz. When you guys were in the midday, I used to hear you a lot more. But how are you liking it?
I like it. You know, you're thrown in, and I kind of knew Sean here and there, but he's a good guy. The guy knows his stuff, so, you know, I like it. I'm employed.
Exactly.
I mean, what's there to say? Yeah, if the day I start complaining about my job, please just smack me back into reality.
Well, it's really funny. I'm really enjoying doing this, and I don't have a paycheck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, it's a labor of love. I can't tell you how many people will be like, hey, do you still talk to Drew? Do you still talk to Drew? And I just go, he's not dead. He didn't die.
Well,
I talk to him. I talk to him all the time.
Well, maybe they'll say that a little less since some of them are picking us up on the podcast. Actually, the podcast seems to be doing pretty well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got a lot of bodies on here. Ooh. Starting to fan out to iTunes and some other places.
Do you feel like Christian Slater in, what was that movie? The pirate radio movie?
Oh, yeah.
What was that stupid movie?
Oh, man. He's going to drive me
crazy. Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume! That's what it was. Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. How far did that broadcast go, by the way? Like 6 blocks?
If that. Way to fight the man in a radius of 6 blocks.
I used to be on WUVT at Virginia Tech. It was 6:40 a.m., and it went to the dorms.
Oh, really?
That was about it.
That's not the one you forgot to power down at night, right?
No. That was an actual commercial station.
It's the world of podcasting. It's just weird.
Yeah, it's really different. And, you know, I've been checking out other podcasts.
Yeah.
Which we have something that's going to just blow your mind a little later. I found this guy. Do you remember Alice's Restaurant by any chance?
Yeah. The TV show? Well, it's the TV show?
Yeah, there was a movie and there was a TV show.
Wait. Alice? No, the TV show, no.
TV show starring Vic Tayback as the...
Wait, that's not Mel's Diner?
Oh, that is Mel's Diner.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Yes.
All right.
Yes. It was based on Alice's Restaurant, though,
yeah.
I think.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Vic Tayback being the... I never watched the show, so I don't know much about it, but anyway...
Kiss My Grits. Wasn't that the big line from that stupid show?
I cannot believe you remember a hook from Mel's Diner. That's fabulous,
Drew,
Mark.
How can you not remember something that utterly stupid, like... Kiss My Grits. Like, that's a big tell-off. Like, instead of going, hey, fuck off, you can go kiss my grits. That doesn't make sense.
Did it become a national thing, though? Like, where's the beef?
I bet you, and I will Google it, I bet you can buy a t-shirt that says Kiss My Grits and has a picture of Flo on it from Mel's Diner.
Well, if that's true, I think I'll buy one. It is Kiss My Grits.
Tell her she can kiss my grits.
This is proud. Carl loves it. So funny. Telling me this is my grits.
Anyway.
Sorry. Yeah, Vic.
Vic Tabak had quite a wonderful career. This was the pinnacle of his career. His nephew is named Tom Tabak. And when I worked in Phoenix, and excuse me if I'm boring anyone because I know I've told the story before. One day, Zip and I are doing our morning show. We get off the air and they said, yeah, you got a call from somebody at Channel 45, which was an independent TV station. We're like, Channel 45? What would anyone want with us? And it turns out it's the producer of the Tom Tabak Show.
Ooh, hey, big
Vic's
time.
Nephew, who is starting his own television venture. And I'm like, who is this guy? It's Vic Tabak's nephew. I mean, what more credibility do you need? And so, yeah, he wants us to be a guest on his new talk show. Loves our show, blah, blah, blah. And so we're like, wow, that's so cool. You know, I can't even believe it. We're going to be on a TV show. So we start promoting it, of course. Yeah, we're going to be on the Tom Tabak Show, you know, as if this thing has any credibility. It hasn't even aired yet. But we start, you know, promoting it. And then we go to tape it. And when we go to the taping, we notice there are about just like five or six other morning shows sitting there. Oh, like, what is going on here? So finally I got up the guts to walk over, and I think it was Bruce Kelly from KUZP, which was a pretty damn successful station there. I said, Bruce, what are you doing here? He said, well, we're doing a taping for the Tom Tabak Show. What are you doing the same thing? And I said, yeah. And so it turns out he had talked to a morning show to appear on each taping. He was doing like seven or eight that day.
Oh, what a dick.
And then one morning, I know, he figured everyone will talk about him on the radio.
He's probably the guy that goes to a bar and asks every chick there if they want to get it on, just hoping one would agree to it. And then what do you know? They all agreed to it.
He's pretty relentless. He still has a career, it turns out.
Really?
But I just want to wrap this by saying that we started watching the first taping. We weren't on the first one. There was another morning show on, of course. And he does a monologue where he basically just outright blatantly stole 3 or 4 minutes of a George Carlin like comedy bit.
Really?
He repeated it word for word. He didn't say, as George Carlin says, he just started doing it.
Oh,
like
really?
It was his.
Hey, why don't they make the whole airplane out of the thing they make black boxes out of?
That's pretty much what it was, Mark.
Really?
You know what I need? You know what a house is? It's just a place for your stuff. That's all it is. I swear. And we're sitting there, and Zip's going, hey, is he going to credit George Carlin for this? We're like, I don't know, whatever. By the time our taping came up, we didn't want to do it. We're like, this is shameful.
That's what I was going to ask you. Did you try to plan an escape or an excuse? Or
you know what? Get this. I think two shows actually left.
Oh, really?
They left. They were so embarrassed. I just thought it was so embarrassing. They just bolted.
Good for them.
We did.
Nice that you're stuck there. Come on. As soon as the first group left, you should have been number two. Because no, after two, three can't leave.
I know. I don't know what I was thinking about. Anyway, we did the show. It was horrible. And I think it lasted maybe 2 months. And it was off. Did no ratings. It was just grim. Anyway, for some reason, Alice's Restaurant, I think I bumped into it online, something to do with Alice's Restaurant. I was like, I wonder if Tom Tabak is still around.
What are you doing online where you bump into Alice's Restaurant?
I have no idea, Mark. It was one of those things where, you know, like the 15 biggest racks in Hollywood, you know, the 4 stars from Alice's Restaurant, where are they now? You know, one of those deals is like 20 up on the page. I always get hooked in by at least one of those.
You're the reason clickbait exists. Because I can totally see you surfing going, hey, look at that headline, boink. Boink, your computer's just full of viruses.
You know what always nails me? Celebrity net worth, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone types his name in, their net worth. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what they make, boop. You know, and I get stuck in celebrity net worth.
I
and
like
then,
it. When
and, that's... Then, and then I want to see 20 other people in there, too. Do you go on celebrity net worth?
No.
Really?
No.
And
next
I know
thing you know, you're looking at the celebrity worth of Vic Tabak, former star of Mel's Diner.
Or your own. I swear to God, I typed my own name in one day, Google myself,
oh, really?
Said net worth.
Yeah. Well, now, okay, I'm assuming it was wrong. And were you mad because it was way off, high or low or something? Or were you like, yeah, it's dinner?
You're going to find this hard to believe. I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
I really don't remember. I don't think I went on because I was in fear that it was low, I'd be pissed. But if it was high, I'd be embarrassed. I don't know. I didn't want to do it. I just couldn't believe they knew my net worth.
God, that is embarrassing that anybody's net worth would be up there.
It's really weird. I mean, you can't believe some of the people and what they're worth. It's just unbelievable. I mean, some of the people who are big stars, they're like, wait, he's only worth $5 million? Are you kidding me?
Really?
Yeah. And then other people who, for whatever reason, maybe they've got a line, a clothing line, mm-hmm. and you had no idea it made $50 million, you know?
Oh, well, like a Kardashian?
Yeah, someone like that, or Daisy Fuentes or someone.
Oh, yeah.
Ilk, you know?
Yeah.
Who actually is worth a ton of money, and you think, oh, man, she's been off VH1 forever.
One? Mark Anthony.
Oh, he's probably worth a ton.
He has a clothing line.
Mark Anthony does?
I think it's for sale at Kohl's because I always see it and go, oh, God, who would wear that?
At Kohl's. I can't tell you the last time I was at Kohl's.
Well, if you have a kid, you'll go to Kohl's a lot.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Absolutely.
Hey, we were just we were kicking some things around before we got started today, and one of them was Axl Rose with AC/DC, and Jay, our engineer, producer, and many other things, immediately brought up Axl singing with AC/DC, and it's not too bad. I want to listen to a couple minutes of it just to hear what people think.
They did their first show together in Portugal.
Oh, in Portugal? Really?
Yeah, yeah, they're huge in Portugal. You know what's amazing, too, about the videos? Everybody in the stand, or the stands?
Everyone in the stands. Like a basketball game. <I know>. They played at a basketball gymnasium, by the way.
You got to start small. Everybody in the crowd knew every lyric. And I was just thinking, could you imagine a Portuguese musician coming over here?
And we learn all the Portuguese word words? No, no way.
No.
You know, I noticed that when I was
just
in
one
Panama.
More reason, USA, number one.
I was in Panama at my brother's wedding, and American pop songs were coming on, and they were singing the American words, and these people could not speak English to save their lives. It was bizarre.
I'm sure you watched the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, right?
Yeah. Oh,
Cheap Trick in Japan. I mean, how weird is that the Japanese knew all the Cheap Trick songs?
And Budokan, Live at Budokan, is what really pushed them over the top, because they could not get their... Kid Rock... God, Kid Rock was great, I thought.
It was pretty funny.
He mentioned that their studio albums just didn't do him justice, and they didn't. The first three they did just couldn't quite... get over the top. They didn't sound right. They didn't sell that well. They do Live at Budokan, and whammo, they just took off. And Budokan, that was like the home of the live album. Dylan did one in Budokan. I think there's been about five or six people who have Live at Budokans that are pretty good.
I never liked Cheap Trick.
Really?
I like Surrender. I think that's a cool song.
I Want You to Want Me?
I hate that
Dream
song.
Police?
I hate that song.
Really?
Yeah.
The Flame, yeah. Not my favorite.
So when Kid actually said that, I was like, oh, okay. I don't feel bad for hating their studio albums. I'm just missing something.
I think if you checked out the live one, you'd probably find there's a few more tracks. They've got some great covers, too. They've got seven or eight songs that I like, and they're great at covering. They did the Sgt. Pepper's Start to Finish.
Oh, really?
Tour. Yeah, and they do it pretty damn well.
I mean, I know people love them, and I respect that they tour like crazy. I don't know. They've never captured me. I don't know why.
They came across...
Except for this song. I love this song.
Classic. Wow, are those guys good, humble, Midwestern guys?
Yeah.
From Rockford, Illinois. It made me proud to be from Illinois, seeing those speeches, I swear. They were so good. All four guys gave fabulous speeches, I thought. Did you see it?
Yeah, oh yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Weren't those just great speeches, all four of them?
They seem very relatable, approachable, exactly. Kind of normal guys, which is kind of refreshing.
I know, it's so rare.
Why? You probably didn't care, but why didn't NWA play?
I don't know.
Or did they play in
HBO? I want to see them play.
Yeah.
I did.
I thought that kind of bummed me out.
I love the line. Was it Bunny Carlos? No, Bunny Carlos is the drummer. I can't think. Oh, shoot. It's the one guy in Cheap Trick. I can't remember his name. Tom Peterson.
The bass player, yeah.
When he said, we thought about getting a keyboard player, but we figured nobody wants to sit in the middle seat in the car, the Bonneville. And then
line.
He said, how did Chicago do it?
Oh, that's funny.
They must have had two cars.
Another band. I just don't. I'm just okay with Chicago.
Weren't their vocals bad in the performance there? It was so obvious they had not the vocalist.
Yeah.
Because it was Terry Kath, I think, sang Saturday in the Park.
My favorite.
And 25 or 6 to 4. What is that about?
25 or 6 to 4?
I know there's some meaning.
He's up late. He has writer's block. Isn't that the lyrics?
25 or 6 to 4.
That's the clock. It's 25 or 6 to 4 o'clock in the morning. He's up late having a writer's block. Isn't that the point of the song?
Oh, I don't know.
What's the opening lyric?
I had the 45 too as a kid.
Something to say.
Oh. Makes sense to me. I was asking him if you.
I have no idea. I assume that's what it was about. It's 25 or 6 to 4 a.m. in the morning. I could be way off.
I want the lyrics in front of me now so I can read the rest of it. I'm impressed. Mark, I wouldn't think you'd know that for some reason. Doesn't seem like your wheelhouse at all.
By the way, Tom Peterson.
Chicago hit record.
Tom Peterson, it's his birthday today, 1950. Oh. You're just talking about Cheap Trick bassist.
Tom Peterson would be, let's see, 66 today?
Yep.
He didn't look at 66 either.
Waiting for the break of day. Searching for something to say. Flashing lights against the sky. Giving up, I close my eyes. Sitting cross-legged on the floor. 25 or 64, staring blindly into space.
Why is it 25 or 6 to 4?
Because it just happened. It's serendipitous. He looked at the clock. And he's
but
like,
if it was 25 of, the big hand is on the, on like the, just past nobody, the six.
Nobody
six of, you're almost by the 11th.
Who goes, hey, it's 25 to 4 o'clock in the morning. No, you say it's what, 3:35. You don't say it's 25 or 6 to 4.
Like you have to be somewhere at 4 a.m. What's this, Don Carpenter's house?
How ridiculous.
Waiting for the break of day.
I love these horns.
Yeah, the horn players are great. Let's listen to Axel with AC/DC.
Can I tell you a fun fact about Chicago?
Sure.
My dad was forced to take my mom to the Chicago concert and promptly fell asleep back in the 80s.
Your mom was a Chicago fan?
You know what's funny? My mom liked music a lot more. My dad's favorite like rock artist, and I'm using rock in quote air quotes, who doesn't like air quotes in a audio medium, is Ricky Nelson.
Oh, Ricky Nelson.
It's like my dad's favorite artist.
Lonesome Town.
I think it was Ricky Nelson. But my mom was pretty hip for 70s and
she liked the Beatles.
She loved the Beatles. Although she did love Anne Murray. And
Snowbird.
Air Supply.
Oh, boy.
But, you know,
somebody had to like Air Supply. True. Somebody had to like them.
I kind of appreciate it now that those songs were played when I was younger, so I know what they are today, because I never would have listened to them on my own.
It is funny, all the bad music that people truly know the words to.
She listened to the soundtrack of Jesus Christ Superstar, and I honestly could tell you almost all the lyrics to that play.
Wait, is that Aquarius, the age of...
No, that's
Aquarius?
Hair.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Oh, boy. How embarrassing that I know that.
Oh, man.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. That's a JC Superstar.
Wow. I guess I don't know that one very well.
She listened to it all the time when I was a kid, and now I know it.
Axl Rose, I cannot believe he's doing this. When he's not performing with Guns N' Roses, he's filling in for Brian Johnson of AC/DC.
Does he have a big gambling debt? Is that how he broke his leg? Some bookie broke it because he owes a lot of money? Why is he doing all this stuff?
I guess... supposedly, he's just such a nut fan of AC/DC that he's honored to be singing for them. But since when does he honored to do anything?
Bad negotiating skill. They're probably going to go, Angus is probably going to go, all right, we're going to pay you like 5% less.
I mean, if he had that kind of a brain, that if his brain worked that way, like, oh my God, AC/DC wants to be singing, I'm so honored, I'm touched, I'm humbled. He would show up at his shows on time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still showing up at midnight, apparently.
Oh, for the AC/DC shows?
No, for GNR.
So he doesn't give a shit about Guns N' Roses.
Wait, hold on a second. How is it that he can show up time for AC/DC?
That's my point.
For GNR. What the fuck is that? I mean, I've always felt like there's a guy that doesn't give a shit about his fans.
No, not at all.
And he can just go fuck himself as far. I mean, how does he get away with that? You know, does it actually.
I think he tries to add to the GNR myth.
I wonder if it does work to his advantage in some way, way.
He's nuts. I mean, what a nut job he is.
Oh, that's one of our favorite. Yeah, we might as well listen to Axl Rose Angry.
Well, thanks to the lame-ass security, I'm going home.
Don't you wish you could wear that outfit?
Yeah, the feather boa with the shorts. It's really funny seeing a guy with really tight shorts and a feather boa get pissed. It just doesn't look right at all.
It doesn't look like it. He's a guy that anything would bother him, because after all, he's wearing spandex shorts and a giant feather boa.
You'd think things would be pretty loosey-goosey, but no, he's pissed. And that's after he dives into the crowd, too. He's got a hat on at that point. And he really swan dives in there, too, to go after that guy. Oh, we got the whole thing. This is worth a listen.
Oh, the whole audio of him going nuts?
Yeah, bring it up, Jay.
They're having major sound problems, right, too? Aren't they having sound problems, too?
I think he's going wacko because... Oh, is he in the crowd now? Why are they still playing?
What are they supposed to do?
It's really funny. Well, you'd think they'd be rather intrigued by what's going on with their lead singer, who's fighting people in the second row.
Is Adler the drummer there? Do we know? Like, I don't know.
I believe he is, because... Okay, this is when he's going to stop.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I was just dancing around in a circle, going wild. Got that cop hat on.
Yeah.
The feather boa, the big cross, and the short shorts.
Hey, take that.
Whoa, whoa,
take
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Now, hit that guy and take that. I'll take it, goddammit.
There he goes. Oh, he took the hat off, swan dive. And the band played on.
What a great beat to get pissed off to.
Yeah. What a morass of people. I mean. And there he's right in the middle. Oh, he's still swinging at the guy. The guy's being held back and Axel's swinging at him. What a cheap shot, you dick. And now he's back. He's back on stage. And yes, here comes her.
Oh.
Well, thanks to the lame-ass security, I'm going home.
He fires that mic into the ground. Bam!
I love that he prefaces it with, well.
It's such a classic.
So, yeah, do we have him with AC/DC then?
Yes, we do.
From thanks Portugal. Once again, all the fans in the stands.
From Lisbon, yes.
Lisbon.
The fans in the audience.
Yeah.
Mike Clark says that about baseball games. You go, yeah, the audience is going wild.
Audience.
It's not a sporting event.
I don't think he sounds bad.
No, I think he sounds okay.
Now, because his leg is broken, it is so ridiculous that he's sitting in that Dave Grohl throne that Grohl lent him.
I know, it just looks dumb. It's like, why don't you just do it on the shitter? I'm just gonna sit on a toilet while you do it. That's what it looks like.
Imagine that. In between every song, he flushes. Accentuate the song. But when the lasting image of Axl Rose is, you know, the swaying guy that's moving all over the stage. And here he's like a fat slob sitting in a chair.
Right. It's like he's gained so much weight he just can't really get around anymore.
If only they would have done
too
that
tired.
With, if only they would have done that with Elvis. Hey, Elvis, you can still tour. Just bring your shitter with you. We'll prop you up there.
Yeah, Elvis never sat down. Well, the crowd is going nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Brian Johnson, but it's Axl, and he's singing AC/DC songs. That's kind of cool.
It doesn't bother me a bit.
Oh.
I mean, hearing Jimmy Page with the Black Crowes, for example.
Yeah.
I love that.
Or Paul Rodgers and Queen?
Yeah.
That was really good.
You get the right guy. If it's a big guy like that, what's the problem? I say nothing. I want to get back to Tom Tabak in a minute because we're gonna listen to this jackass's broadcast on Chasm Radio in Sedona, Arizona. He's got a morning show with his son.
In Sedona? That's, I didn't even know there was an actual media market, Sedona.
You've it's been not Sedona. Much of one. It's a small one because I worked in Phoenix. It's funny because they're giving away tickets to like University of Arizona football, which is about 2 hours away.
Really?
Yeah. But they're giving away everything. It's like... It's so strange. I'm thinking, okay, it's Friday. They're playing the 5 to 6 a.m. hour, I think, because it's the boarding show. And I'm figuring, you know, you're going to hear about what's going on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing but giveaways. It's nothing but trivia day.
Wow.
It's like it could be January 1st or it could be June 5th.
Oh,
it could
be
120 degrees or it could be 50 degrees. You have no idea because all they're doing is giving crap away. And the sponsor, oh, wait to hear this. Just roll on that sucker.
Well, it's a way to hook people in, I suppose. I don't know.
I don't think he's got a ton to say. I mean, if he told a George Carlin, if he ripped off a George Carlin bit to
well,
do
just keep playing the Carlin's hits, keep recycling Carlin's.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the duo. Yes, it's time once again. You've probably been wondering where they've been.
No,
a gutter,
no one has.
A sewer, maybe a cell. Hey, wouldn't be the first time they've been in jail. But nevertheless, I must digress.
Now, there's a story. I want to know about when he went to jail.
For those of you that don't know, it's a little something we call the duo. The phone lines are open. Feel free to call. I guarantee you'll have a ball. Remember, that's what it's about after all. Oh, and
who wrote
don't
this?
You forget, their public opinions will cause a fit and are hardly ever considered legit. They don't reflect the rest of the staff. Most of the time, it's just to get a laugh. One last warning before we go. Make sure you keep up with the flow, because these two never go slow. So do your best to try and keep track.
It always kills me when shows talk about
don't know Jack.
How they're...
Ready or not, here's Tom and Mike Tabak.
Turn it down just a little bit, Jay. When shows talk about how they're just trying to be funny, or the object is comedy, or to get a laugh.
To the duo, 780 KAZM. It is a Friday duo, means it is a Stump the Duo day. I'm Mike Tabak.
And right I'm Tom time. Tabak. It always starts like this on Friday.
Whoa. Oh, boy. Clever production value.
Oh, boy.
Wait till you hear the plugs coming, Mike. Yeah, I've never heard so many plugs in a short time in my life.
Yeah, it's called Stump the Duo on Fridays. There's an actual reason for that name. We'll explain as we go here. It's a different day on Fridays.
Need to explain
we
it.
Give away more stuff than all other days
pretty
combined.
Self-explanatory.
And it's a trivia game. You get a chance to answer a trivia question. If you do so on the air, you're going to win a lot of stuff. But there are rules. Pay attention. We'll explain what they are.
It's you're not like Stump the Staff. I think it's just a Stump the Staff ripoff.
Categories. I'll give you a few of my own. They tend to pertain to my generation. And then Michael have his own questions, which
that's
tend to pertain to his generation. Either way, if you know the answer to just one of these trivia questions, you call us at 928-282-4154.
Isn't that too many numbers?
928-282-4154.
No,
don't wait. Don't
I guess it's
hesitate.
The right number.
We always
you
end
give
up
the
with
number
callers
in an odd
stuck
way?
On hold
yes,
in the,
at the end first
of the program.
Time.
We can't give anything to them because we don't have enough time. So
you wrapped up with
you
three numbers.
928-282-4154. All you have to do
154?
Is answer
288-288.
One of the trivia questions correctly. 154.
I feel like I 28 about eight times.
A cleaner, quicker car wash. This is the these are the pros on 89A. They're located on 89A in West Sedona. This is where you go when
oversell
you want
it.
Your professional job done. They have all kinds of different levels of car wash.
I mean, how about a good morning? You know,
and,
here's what's going
have,
on today.
They have
it's
really
Friday.
Special
services. Must be 90 degrees. This is how they open the show.
Yeah, like
exactly.
That. You check it out at the Cleaner Quicker Car Wash, where they're going to give you a silver wash absolutely free. That's one of the levels of
this
car
is a,
wash.
This is one of the prizes. I mean, it's
that,
like a 60-second commercial for the stupid prize.
Coupon as credit towards something else. So that's the deal at the Cleaner Quicker Car Wash on 89A in West Sedona. We're going to give you a Humane Society of Sedona 15% discount coupon.
What?
Now this is
wait,
used
Humane
for,
Society 15% discount coupon.
Who uses a
coupon? You're giving me a coupon
for the Humane Society.
I have to call a radio station to win a coupon.
Fundraiser all year long
for the
thrift stores.
For the Humane, I didn't even know the Humane Society issued coupons.
I don't think they do.
The funds for taking care of the animals at the Humane Society of Sedona, where they have a very special promotion going on right now.
A coupon?
It's
no.
It's called Adopt Allie. Allie
you know,
is
I was thinking
a
of getting a pet.
Pup. She's been at
it was the coupon that put
for,
me over the edge.
No, I think a little over a year now. And Allie needs a forever home.
Aww.
And they're doing a very special promotion. I think they're going to have the...
I actually felt sorry for the dog when I heard this the first time.
The shelter,
the dog's embarrassed to be connected to the Tabak show.
It should be, yeah.
In a tent
the dog should
Allie.
Complain.
You know, it's going to be a tent in. And so you're staying with Allie, sleeping in the tent nights until somebody adopts Allie.
Oh, my
but there's
God.
Absolutely no reason why Allie hasn't been adopted. It's just one of those things.
Where's the other guy in the duo? This is supposed to be
very
the duo.
Sweet.
He's crashed.
Where's Mike?
Adopt Allie, the Humane Society of Sedona.
Right on.
Oh, there he is.
You get a two-for-one
hey, Mike.
Coupon
another,
for
another
a
coupon.
Day at the West.
What?
A Day in the West Jeep Tours.
I cannot believe you listened to
Jeep
this.
Jeep Tour company. They've been
doing
it
quite
the longest
a bit.
In the area. They know their stuff.
Listen
and
for
they,
half an hour.
This is a
wait
great
a
gift.
A coupon
now, if
for
you
the Jeep
done
Tour,
it yourself,
but
you can use
presumably
it for yourself,
if you were listening to the
what
show,
a great
you live
gift
in Sedona.
For, your
yes.
loved ones and your
would you really need the Jeep Tour? Or maybe
stay
enough for vacationers?
Yes.
A Day in the West Jeep Tours, 2-for-1.
He mentions if you have a guest, I think it's
you're
going to
get a restaurant certificate or coupon or credit card, and it works like this. In no particular order.
Play the game. Stop the plugs. You have too many prizes, you dick.
This is Soundbites Grill.
I feel like he just got the Valpak envelope in the mail.
I know. He's running through the whole thing.
He's just giving away his Valpak.
You go up to the top of the hill there. You take their driveway off the roundabout.
This is ridiculous.
Immediately to your right is that's where the sound.
Get on with the show. You just started the show 20 minutes ago, and it's been 15 minutes of plugs. Come on.
They have all kinds of great surf and turf dishes. They have fantastic menu.
It's the duo.
Their concentration is on the highest quality, best ingredients, the highest grade.
I have a feeling Mike marched down to the program director next break.
It does matter.
Bitch about his dad.
You'll find out that the ambiance is all about the sound industry. That's why it's called Soundbites Grill. And you have the giant posters and murals and the pictures and everything, but you have guitars hanging
over selling it, Tayback.
You have autographed very special guitars.
Can I be this guy's PD?
The plaques and the photos.
If you want, Mike in your office all day.
Who played the guitar
about his dad.
So
is Mike
forth.
The dad or is Mike the son?
Mike's the son.
I have not been in there where I have not seen people just perusing the walls, checking out the guitars.
Yeah.
It's fun stuff. That's the Soundbites Grill. Now, in the back, they have a separate area.
Boy, give Mike an inch, he'll take a mile.
He's pissed.
This
he's
is
so
where
pissed.
They have the staged performances that you
he's
can
got
buy
a sore throat,
for.
Too.
He
finally gets
very
two words
special,
in.
Very, very cool, very intimate surroundings there.
Holy cow.
We're going to be there again with the Graffiti Gold Show. Tom Tayback and the Daddy-O's, our Graffiti Gold Show. We're
oh,
gonna
he's
be there again.
His own
it's
show.
A Friday.
Hey,
this is the only Friday we're doing this Plagola? Year at Soundbites. Yes. So this is a Friday. And it's
maybe didn't sign it. Maybe didn't sign the thing
you're
supposed to sign every year.
I believe it is this month. And you can get your tickets by going to graffitigoldshow.com. That's
not
our
going
website.
To see Tom
see
Tabak and the Daddy
the
O's. That sounds so bad.
But
it's just a lot of 50s music.
Get your tickets and get your dinner reservations
now,
by calling.
I love
them
my dad. I would never want to do a show with him. Could you imagine
doing down just
show,
a tad,
we're inviting
Jake.
You to come out
can you imagine doing a show with your father?
No, it'd be awful.
We have a $25 credit card.
He wouldn't relate to so many things. And that's what's happening is the dad is doing all the app and the kids just crashed.
So you can enjoy the courtyard.
He's so crashed right now.
Windows are out on the patio.
He has said honestly five words in the last 10 minutes.
By sitting at the bar, lunch or dinner, fantastic menu.
Can you picture somebody
menu.
In Sedona
tons
like getting up, going, "Oh, I got to put Todd the duo
no.
on."
No,
a great.
Unless they're thinking about getting an animal
staff.
From the Humane
now, remember,
Society, they need a coupon.
Brewery and grill. So right below them, immediately.
They're supposedly the most listened to station in Northern Arizona, which I don't know what that means.
Probably the only station in Northern Arizona. It's either that or the information station for the Grand Canyon.
There's FM stations there. I know there's FMs.
And when it's served to you and you order, you get it served in a tall.
What are you talking about? Get on with the trivia, you dick! It's trivia day!
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the trivia becomes very anticlimactic after all this.
Yes. One for each of them. Which is
you better have a good fucking question, Tayback.
Oh, they're little.
I hope
mini
the first caller wins.
Of beer.
After all these plugs,
seven of them for each one.
Hey, here, Mike.
There's Mike. You're thinking, yeah.
Whoa. Okay, those are professionals.
Nah.
All right.
What an engaging laugh.
We have a $25.
No, not another prize, you ass.
Cottonwood. This is breakfast, lunch, or dinner. The main stage in Cottonwood.
Small market. Radio is wonderful, isn't it? When I drive through a small town, I love turning on small market. Go to the AM dial. Hear that burgeoning broadcast industry.
They have the multiple.
There's a lot of great young talent out there.
Kind of painful.
They have the kitchen there. They have the gastropub. That's why we're talking about a coupon.
That's the other thing, too. Those restaurants should be mad that they're giving out prizes for competitors in the same thing.
Fuck yeah. I'd be livid.
After all, we paid to have the Daddy-O's at our restaurant.
Absolutely. What if you're like the seventh prize in this whole string here? Would you feel cheated?
It's not on
you. We got to laugh out of Mike there.
But that's where you can go to harass him at the gastropub kitchen right there.
I feel like Mike's just playing like Angry Birds. Just totally disengaged. Just updating his status.
Let's go back to the old diner days, the Blue Plate Special days.
Oh, shut up.
You can get
ask a question.
Breakfast all day long at the Blue Moon.
Come on, I'm dying to compete, Tayback.
Bell Rock Boulevard and
the lines are full. They've been blinking for 10 minutes, you ass.
When you hit the doorway, belt it out. Let them know you're from Chasm, and Chasm has them. Blue Moon. They'll treat you really special.
Hey, nice stick there.
Cafe. We have a certificate
no!
for El Rincon. This is simply Mexican food done to perfection.
Honestly,
El
how far Rincon's in are we
been
now?
Doing this in Tlacopaque in the same location for 40 years.
I think they're close to asking
now.
A question.
40 years. and you can get a spectacular.
Can you believe this is really a radio show, though?
Dinner,
isn't it?
Mexican style at Al Rincon.
Does he pay for his time?
The world famous margaritas.
Oh, you know what I bet it is?
Question.
What? I bet you he doesn't get paid to do this. This is how he makes his money, by selling sponsorships. We've seen that model.
Guitar going on.
Okay. So, you know, so the table.
So he doesn't give a shit about the ratings.
Mexican, no.
Great ambiance.
But they're Northern Arizona's most listened to station.
You know, those,
yeah, because he has all these sponsors trying to make sure they get their plugs.
Isn't that funny that I actually bought into what it said online? I actually went, they're most listened to. I must be doing better.
Yeah, what demo are they most in the Tabak household?
Probably 64 and over.
Please make it a bona fide trivia question.
Oh, here we go.
Nobody wants to be bored by inane.
You're going to tell people, oh my, how dare you suggest that a caller is going to bore people when you bored the shit out of us?
If we cannot answer it, well, then you've stumped the duo. You get bragging rights. If we can answer
and here's the prizes you get. He lists them all again.
But either way, you get placed in a hat for a grand prize drawing. So somebody's going to win the grand prize.
We're going to have here the grand prizes for
now. The hat and announce who that is. Here's what's going to be
in
that grand prize.
No!
It starts off
plug.
With Harkins Movie Passes. A Harkins Movie Pass.
Movie Passes?
Coupon.
That's
gonna
$14.
To go where they exist, and you're going to get to any movie you want to absolutely free. It's not a limited pass. It's a VIP pass.
You get it absolutely free?
So you get to walk in free and watch that movie free.
All $14?
You've
no
got
coupon.
The popcorn coupon. You can now you can walk right
there's
into
a coupon
the snack bar
in the grand
and redeem
prize.
This in the boring fashion, or you can stand in the middle of the lobby, put your arms out straight, hold that coupon in one hand, spin like a top, and do the chasm chant, the dance, the spasm, the mantra.
What chasm, are you talking
chasm,
about?
Chasm. If there's two of you, you could do it like
oh
in
my
harmony.
God.
Yeah, it'd be really cool.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
It'd be really
I love
cool.
the chemistry.
Yourself,
you can
you know,
feel the family chemistry, can't
us,
you?
I can feel the family tension.
I know that sounds goofy, but people have done it. Yes.
Chasm has them.
Now, when you get here and you pick up, you know, to pick up your loot, you're going to get your choice of some free chasm memorabilia. We're talking t-shirts, sweatshirts, polo shirts.
Oh, shut up. You plug enough stuff. Get on with the question, you idiot.
All kinds of different styles and colors, of course, and designs.
I don't think I can either. I want to hear one question, though. Don't you kind of want
to
hear one question? Yeah, but that's going to be another hour of listening.
That's the genius behind this, Drew.
Now, this is courtesy of Bob Coast Photography.
No, another plug.
They've fatigued the listener so much that the listener won't change the station.
Consultation up front. It was almost a
consultation. Okay, Jay, you want to pause it?
It's a consultation. There's no confrontation. It's a consultation up front.
Wow, Dad.
I'm sorry about that insane detour into the Tom Tabak world.
Speaking of that, I was talking to my dad yesterday because they came out for Mother's Day. And I was telling him I was doing this today. My dad goes, where is it? I'm like, well, what do you mean? It's at Drew's house. No, where do podcasts exist? And I just stared. I'm like, the internet? He's like, but how do I get it?
You know, a lot of people.
Dad, you're not that clueless.
He's not alone, though. A lot of people don't know what this is. They, you know, it's really tough. We get a lot of emails who are asking for Jay to hold their hand and kind of help them get to the podcast somehow.
Really?
Yeah. Or they want to know how they can get it in their car.
Yeah.
You know, how do I download it to my
phone?
Well,
that I can understand.
Yeah.
But where is it?
I know.
Is it?
I have to admit, though, when I first heard about podcasting, I didn't really know what it was. I would have assumed it was online, though.
My pops, though, has always been kind of at the forefront of technology. Honestly, he's been
yeah,
a
I would expect your dad
adapter.
To know how that goes.
I think he just gave up.
he's
he hit 70 and he didn't care anymore.
Is he still, your dad's 70?
71.
Okay. Well, he's a pretty hip 71, I will say.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact he's even interested in the podcast, although you are on it.
He wears this ridiculous hat, and I love that he wears a ridiculous hat, like a safari hat.
He does?
Every time I see him, he has it on. And at first
he's
I was
got
like,
a shtick going.
It is a shtick, but it works for him. It's awesome.
Wow. Safari hat?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's changing his wardrobe, too?
not really, but it's quite ridiculous, and I'm glad he does it. You know, why not? Let him be happy.
Is this a, what's this email from Jay? I'm sorry. Okay. It was actually Jay's notes on the show today. I'm going, wow, uh-oh. Somebody's already listening to the podcast? That can't be. We haven't even loaded it yet. Warren Cameron. Yeah, there we go. Hey, guys, you want to know how happy I am when I read that you two would be podcasting? I've been listening since you started WRF, and I mean every show from start to finish. My shift started at 6 a.m., and it wasn't just me. Whenever you went through the shop, everybody's workstation had you guys on. I was so bummed when you left, and then so happy you're at 105, then so bummed when that ended. Drew, you and Mark are the best.
Ooh.
Get them to join you as much as possible, please.
Oh, wow.
My vocabulary consists of hundreds of drops thanks to you guys. They all make me laugh. What I like best is when you read the wild excerpts from the books you read and comment on them as you go. I don't want to listen to the four shows so far. You must keep it going. Bottom line, wherever and whenever you have a live microphone, my speaker will be at the other end. Thank you, Warren. You are the man.
So are you finding like that you're, because you're working out of your house now, that you never leave? Or do you make it a point to get out?
I try to get out, but I have been home a lot, I have to admit. But it's nice doing the show here. I mean, it's really cool to just walk downstairs and do it.
Yeah, very cool.
There's no paycheck. Hasn't bothered me yet, but we're starting to consider finding revenue means.
We're starting to consider.
That means
starting to.
I made a couple phone calls. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's a step.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like if I'm not busy working on the show, trying to make the show great, then how can I ask people to pay for it?
Next thing you know, the first 20 minutes, you're going to be giving out coupons.
I promise you. You'll never hear anything like The Duo on Chasm Radio. Chasm has them. Chasm has them.
That would be phenomenal.
Hey, I want to detour to Prince.
Yeah.
Not to Tom Tabak, but to Prince, because I read some really interesting stuff. The new Rolling Stone is out with, of course, Prince on the cover. Mm-hmm. And I thought a really good story.
Look at that dude. He kills me.
I know. Isn't he something?
He's nice putting your hands together to make a vagina symbol over your junk on the cover of Rolling Stone.
You know, you weren't on last week, so you must have, unless you heard me talking about it, the fact that Vanity Six, he wanted to go by Vagina.
Yeah.
And Six is for the six boobs in the band. There were three girls.
You know what's funny about Prince passing away is I feel like there's a lot of closet Prince fans.
I agree. People were really bummed out. A lot of people told me they were really upset about it, who I would have thought would not have even listened to Prince.
No, not at all. Like, I'm trying to think. Oh, Ray Bennett at 105.1. I don't know if you remember Ray, the hockey guy who's on full time. He's on staff now. Huge Prince fan, but you would never think it looking at him. Like, loves him. Loves him.
He had great pop hits. He was a great He's a great guitar player. I mean, that thing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004 when he played While My Guitar Gently Weeps is just one of those things that will live in infamy. And his Grammy performance that year was fabulous, too. And his Super Bowl performance.
The Super Bowl performance is the best.
It was really.
That might be the best Super Bowl
ever. I totally agree. No, this guy was really one of the tip-top guys. He's one of the great. If you talk about talent, too, no one will argue with that. He is an incredible talent. He mastered 20 instruments. Yeah, exactly.
I heard you and Charlie debating him and Jackson.
I know. Charlie's a big Jackson suck-up.
Well, I found myself yelling at the podcast. You know how you do that when you listen to something and you yell at it?
Absolutely.
Because you're both right, and I saw both points. Unfortunately, Jackson's music will probably live on more than Prince's. I really believe that. But Prince was a better musician.
He's by far a better musician. There's not even competition.
But Jackson had more hits.
Jackson didn't write his songs like Prince did, though. Prince wrote all his songs. I mean, Jackson was being fed all this fabulous music. And, I mean, as a singer, do you consider Michael Jackson to be that great a singer?
He's a pretty good entertainer.
I
he is, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. He
can deny that.
He is. No, I don't. That whole moonwalk thing at the Motown 83.
Moonwalk thing. And the way he only
wore that moonwalk deal back in 83.
You sound like that guy. Remember that clip from when he died? Was that a moonwalk there? All right. Like Mr. Square. Oh, that was the other. I was texting you. I think you talked to Clark about this too on the first, about the Wolf Blitzer Larry King hour on CNN.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that was I've fallen in love with watching the Wolf Blitzer show because it is so bad. He's awful.
He's hideous.
Why is he on TV still?
I don't know. I thought the thing with Falcon Heaney should have been the end of it.
Oh yeah.
You know, we did it for the show, and it goes over his head. Yeah. Everyone watching TV is going, he just admitted it's fake, Wolf, and you didn't even notice, you idiot.
Dope. Well, you didn't. I don't think you mentioned, too, that when he was talking to Larry about Prince dying, Wolf just goes, Larry, did you ever perform on your show?
I'm going, that's right.
You filled in for Larry King. Not only have you seen his show, but you filled in for him. And
when
you don't
has
know,
anyone ever performed
no one.
On that show?
No
never.
Ever done a performance. And then Larry just starts rambling about him and starts going, and then he changed his name to one of those, it's like a symbol and you couldn't pronounce it. No one knew how to pronounce it. It's like, nice eulogy. Name a song.
Oh, Larry. I haven't checked Larry's Twitter lately. Larry's that's the only Twitter account anyone needs to follow.
Well, let's go on there before we're done.
Yeah.
And see what Larry's tweeting about these days. It is incredible how you can turn on television, even something like CNN, which you consider, many people consider to be the television station of record for literally news, mm-hmm. history. I mean, anything that is happening in the world, it's recorded on CNN in some way, shape, or form. Now, a lot of people feel it's a very biased network. I don't get that worked up about
that. As far as the big three, I think it's probably the most down the road. Isn't it?
Some people are absolutely convinced that CNN is just the most liberal, left-leaning entity in the history of broadcasting.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that, but it doesn't matter. I'm leaving that out. I think there is an assumption, though, that if it's part of the record, if it's part of history, it happened on CNN, it was discussed on CNN, it was reported on CNN. And then to have someone like Wolf Blitzer and Larry King.
And Larry, Don Lemon.
You know, Larry King talking to Paul McCartney and asking him, so did the Beatles ever get back together after you split up? What? You're the only guy, the only person in the world that doesn't know that never happened, ever.
Well, remember, too, he asked Seinfeld about quitting the show, and Jerry called him out. I was like, do you need a resume? Do you not know this, Larry?
That was really funny. That was...
There's a
damn, that was funny.
My all-time favorite might be, there's a Growing Pains movie. Growing Pains movie.
Hey, Jay, there's a bunch of Larry King stuff in the...
he's such a dick.
We're trying to get some drops on today. It's not easy.
I like this, you start at the ground level and you're quietly adding things.
It is a work in progress, clearly. Yeah. But, talking about Prince and the Rolling Stone article, I thought added a lot for me anyway. Just filling in blanks and reminding me of things I didn't remember about Prince. And his influences really surprised the hell out of me.
Well, the big one, Stevie Wonder, right?
Stevie Wonder was one too, but the four that he likes to mention the most are Joni Mitchell, Sly and the Family Stone, makes total sense.
Yeah, I could see that.
Grand Funk Railroad. Grand Funk.
Mark Varner.
The Flint Guys, yeah.
That's a little odd.
Yeah, I didn't see that. And then Tower of Power, that's basically a big horn section, right?
Joni Mitchell. That's the one that really doesn't fit.
I know. He covered a song of hers his last show.
He did?
Yeah, he did.
Big Yellow Taxi?
He covered... No, or is that what? No. She did Big Yellow Taxi. Pay Paradise, little parking lot. Ooh, up, 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 up. Help me, I think I'm falling. Remember that song?
No.
No? Okay.
Joni Mitchell was not one of my influences, so
not one of mine either. But he also mentioned that he loved the movie Lucy in that Rolling Stone thing. They were talking about how much he loved the movie Lucy.
I don't know what that is.
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, the new one?
Yes.
That movie's terrible.
I know, it's so bad. I love watching it, Mark.
I think it's official. Then he was just strung out.
I know, that's bizarre. What does that mean? Because that movie's crazy. If you haven't seen it.
He was strung out on Darvocet when he watched it.
He must have.
Is that what he was on? Is that what they think?
Percocet.
Percocet.
Percocet. Percocet. Yeah. So Lucy is Scarlett Johansson at the beginning of the movie is being pressured by this boyfriend of hers to give this briefcase to this guy. And she's like, no, I'm not doing it. What's in here? And he's like, nothing. And she, well, do we get paid for this? I don't know, $1,000. Well, there must be something in here. And so next thing, he clamps the cuffs on her. In the suitcase, and so she's stuck, so she just does it, and immediately things seem really weird.
Major flaw right in the plot right there. So once she's handcuffed to it, she has to go, all right, I'll go through with it. I mean, you're on Hong Kong or some Asian city, you couldn't just go, this ass just handcuffed me to its briefcase, can you let me out, cop?
Exactly. She didn't have to do it.
No.
But what happens is, she ends up being pulled in. First of all, her boyfriend gets shot right as she's turning the briefcase in, or she's waiting for the guy to come get the briefcase, and they tell her, just stay right there. And she's like, well, can I sit down? They're like, no, you should stay right there. And it's like, oh, something horrible is going to happen. This guy gets shot. She gets hauled upstairs by these tough guys, these bouncer types, and they're all...
the Yakuza?
Is that supposed to represent?
Yakuza is like a Japanese mafia.
And then she's told to open the briefcase, give her the combination. Everyone clears out, like they go about 40 feet away while she's supposed to open this thing. And she knows they'll kill her if she doesn't, so she opens it. And it's drugs. It's some kind of drug. And they pull this guy in, that scraggly guy they brought in to snort the drugs?
Yep.
And when he laughs his ass off, that's one of the funniest scenes I've seen in any movie in a long time. He just says, ah, ha, ha. He can't stop laughing. And he's like the scummiest, greasiest looking guy I've ever seen. And the guy, the Okuza guy, is so tired of hearing him laugh that he shoots him in the head.
How impulsive.
I love that scene.
Oh, utterly impulsive. So, but then they implant the drugs in her, right? Or she's
she's knocked out. Yeah. She's knocked out, and she wakes up. She's got a scar in her stomach. It's like, oh, I thought she was going to be in a bathtub full of ice, you know, with a note that says, call 911. No! She wakes up with a scar in her stomach. Next thing you know, she's kicking the crap out of these guys that are taking care of her. She figures out how to get away. She shoots these. She gets the gun away from some guy. She shoots a bunch of people, and she's on her way. And her brain power is just going up, 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 wildly. Well, I mean, this movie is absolutely insane. The next thing she does is she goes to the emergency room because she was shot in the shoulder when she shot these four guys that were supposed to be detaining her. And she basically goes in there with a gun, throws this body off the emergency room table, and tells these people that, you know, if they know it's good for them, they'll remove this thing from her. Or no, they'll remove the drugs from her stomach. That's what she wanted. She wanted the drugs. She had them open her up and pull the drugs out.
Yeah.
She didn't want them in there. And I don't know if that was because she knew she was going to need them with her additional brain power. She knew she needed more of the drug. I think she did.
How stupid.
But then, next thing you know, she's getting a hold of computers and she's like typing wildly. The words just scanning by at a million miles an hour, and she's apparently taking in every bit of it.
And then once again, the laziest casting job by the casting director. Just, oh, we need a really smart black professor. Get Morgan Freeman on the phone.
And Morgan Freeman is all into brain power and maximizing the brain's usage. She reads everything he's ever written in like 5 minutes.
How typecasted, though. Oh, she becomes Johnny Five from Short Circuit. Remember, Jay would flip through the books really fast?
Yes, absolutely.
But is Prince's favorite movie?
He loved it. He loved it, apparently.
I have a feeling his favorite movie is the last movie he saw. Maybe he's one of those guys. Like,
he's in the moment. He's totally in the moment. Everything is about now with Prince. I mean, he doesn't want to talk about the future. The Rolling Stone interviewer that talked to him in 2014, and this is so bad, but in 2014, for some reason, she was doing a cover story on Prince, and it got knocked off the cover. I don't know if it was a death or what it was. So it never ran until he died. Really? This two-year-old interview they printed that they never had put in the magazine.
What else did he say besides Lucy being his favorite movie? Anything of note from there?
Yeah, this last interview was kind of interesting. Let's see. I made some notes. Well, first of all, you're not allowed to curse, which is a big thing.
Yeah. What was he?
Seventh-day Adventist.
Seventh-day Adventist. Yeah. I was thinking Jehovah's Witness, but I know it wasn't right.
And apparently, Seventh-day Adventists don't like you bringing up the past either, because he said not to bring up the past.
Wait, he plays his hits at the concert.
I think some of his concerts he doesn't play that many of them.
But isn't that
he was playing them at the end though? I know. No, it's totally ridiculous.
Hey, wait. You can't swear, but you can write songs about sex and banging chicks like crazy.
Well, that's just it. I mean, he's written every nasty lyric you could possibly write in the last 30 years. But when he decides that he's done, then you can't swear either. Even though you've been going at a normal pace with your swearing and your sexual discussions.
The Aerosmith alcohol policy, right?
Yeah, that was really annoying when they did that. No one could drink in the entire arena because they've had too much.
Or the Neil Young policy, because he did the same thing.
Yep. He's drinking on stage, but nobody in the theater can drink.
Because he can't control himself.
No photos, no photo shoot. He provided pics that were heavily retouched, they said.
Really?
Yeah. Wouldn't let him take pictures. But that's been going on for a while because she said he had a picture of himself on the cover of Rolling Stone from 1985 on one of his walls at Paisley Park. And he complained about the cover because he said they had used they'd taken a video, a still off of the video, and he didn't like the way his teeth looked.
Is that just him being a whiny bitch?
I think so. Oh, by the way, Paisley Park, no clocks at Paisley Park.
Oh, really?
It's like a casino.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I kind of like that attitude. He's on Prince time.
That's totally about him. I mean, that's him. And, you know, his band that he was working with, those girls in the new band, those chicks had been staying at a hotel for a year and a half.
Really?
Right near Paisley Park. They didn't know. A couple of them were saying, I don't even know what day it is because we're here working all the time.
Wow.
I know. It was kind of, I thought it was interesting.
So what do you think happened with him? Because I have a theory, and I think the theory's gained traction now that we see this doctor sending his kid, which, nice doctor. Hey, kid, go out there and deliver these pills to Prince and get him into...
and get busted when he's dead.
Yeah.
Is that kid really in trouble for carrying the script?
Are they really
going to go after him?
Well, it's just kind of silly. I mean, he wasn't taking them, I would think. But the DEA is involved.
Oh, big time. Oh, yeah. Somebody's going to pay for this.
Don't you feel like he knew the intervention was coming and he was going to have to go somewhere the next day, so he just wanted to go out with a bang or kind of load up?
Oh, party. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Going one last bender.
Yeah, and yes. Really load up. And
no
next thing you know,
doubt okay. about it. Yeah,
that's kind of what I thought.
But, you know, it seems like he would be up to it because he'd obviously been doing a lot of whatever he was doing. I mean, they had to pull the plane down in Moline, Illinois.
Yeah.
And they tried to say it was the flu, as if you wouldn't just fly home and get in your own bed and recover from the flu. You're going to stop at a hospital for 3 hours in Moline, Illinois?
No, that's ridiculous.
They don't even have purple rooms and no private rooms.
That's why he left. Well, that's allegedly why he left, right? There was no private room.
No purple rooms.
Oh, no purple rooms.
no private rooms.
You got to give him credit. He really did adopt a color.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool. And that whole thing with the skylights at Paisley Park when they're purple, he's home. I mean, you really want to tell burglars and weirdos that Prince is home? Wouldn't it be the opposite? Like,
maybe he can control it with an app on his phone to throw him off. The purple lights are on a timer, so you don't really know when he's home.
It's like the bat light. Prince is available.
And now it's the official color of the state of Minnesota.
Is that true? Are they doing that?
There's a bill in Congress.
Do states have official colors?
They do. One does now.
Oh, boy. I'm trying to think what else came up in that last interview.
It's funny. All these people are coming forward now to claim, Prince is my dad. Can we do a DNA test? And honestly, credit to his sister and the other half-siblings that are allowing the DNA to be tested.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, well, because
might as well find out.
Well, because if there is an heir out there, and
they lose everything,
oh, they're done. They don't get anything. All the money goes to the heir or heirs.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess the family's doing the right thing.
Well, I mean, how many heirs are going? How many people have turned up and said?
There's about 700 people that have made a claim. Now, the one company I saw the head of the one company on the news. He's like, there's one person we think. That is a legitimate claim. His mom was around Prince a lot in the 80s, and he's about the right age.
And she didn't tell Prince that he had a kid because why? She didn't want any money? I mean, why would you not tell Prince, I'm having your kid? I mean, why would you not?
Well, I don't know. Maybe she was doing okay. Maybe she didn't need his. Oh, that's ridiculous.
But then why did the kid need the money? I mean, it just seems so stupid to me. But I'm sure we'll find out. I mean, if indeed there is.
Did you have a kid that passed away?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
that's a weird story. In 2001, 1996, that first wife of his got pregnant, and there was a genetic issue.
Oh, God, that sucks.
And the kid lived 1 week.
Ooh.
And Prince was very strange about it because he was on Oprah shortly after that, and Oprah said, oh, and we're so sorry about your... And he said, oh, no, my family exists. And she's like... Your family exists. So the baby's alive? And he said something like, I'm looking for the quote here.
Huh. Well, how do you
some really odd quote.
How do you deal with that?
Well, I could have just, said, I appreciate your saying that. I mean.
Yeah, instead you say something so off the wall, everyone goes, huh?
Yeah, he really kind of freaked everybody out. In pain, Prince refused to address the truth in an interview with Oprah Winfrey just days after the child's death. Our family exists, he said. It's only the beginning. But this wish was not to be. And then the couple separated in 99. So.
Wow. Well, he had a nice string of ladies.
Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. He had great taste in women, in my opinion.
For such a little man, too.
Yeah, 5'2".
Yeah.
And I think that his Napoleon syndrome really had a lot to do with his death in the end because he wore heels all his life, which caused the hip problems, which caused the pain, which caused the Percocet, maybe.
He was a very good basketball player, too.
Yeah, he was a great player.
Nobody ever gave him credit in high school because he was so short.
Well, he said the coach wouldn't play him because he was so short.
So short, which is why you hear all those Chappelle stories of him playing them in basketball and how good he really is.
Yeah, everyone seemed to agree. Yeah. I don't think that was BS. He had a basketball court at Paisley Park, too, which he played at quite a bit, apparently.
Sweet.
And could hit shots from anywhere on the floor, according to some jackass.
Awesome. Good for him. according to some jackass.
Yeah. As if this guy saw him play basketball a million times at Paisley Park. I mean, I can't remember who it was. It was some note. I mean, I didn't even know who he was. But anyway, the most intriguing thing about this whole Rolling Stone deal was, in my opinion, that he loved the movie Lucy. I just couldn't get past that.
Weird.
But they talked about a lot about his career, like at 19 when he signed with Warner. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to hook you up with Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire as kind of a mentor and, you know, help you produce something so he can sort of show you the way. And Prince says, nope, ooh, yeah. Nobody produces me. I produce myself. That's that.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Played every album on his first album. Or, yeah, played every instrument
every
on his
instrument.
First album.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we have to see you operate in a studio before we're going to give you that right. And he said, fine, let's do it. I'll take the test right now. And they went in the studio and they said, build a track. And he started building a track. And they're like, wow, he knows what he's doing.
And everybody likes to talk about the vault of all the music.
Yeah.
Are you like me? Are you really skeptical and that's any good?
Extremely.
Okay.
Why would he have great songs in there that he would not put out?
I don't know.
People say that, and I think they're talking out of their ass.
No, think about it. Has there ever been a good album or song from the vault?
No. No, what has there ever been? What? Seriously, can you think of anything?
Okay, I can think of one now that I bring up the question. Nirvana had,
one song.
You know, I'm Right.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
It wasn't even their best song.
No, but it was okay. I like that song.
Yeah,
it was
good,
but that's one song from their vault. Well, the Beatles.
The Beatles had stuff, you know, like they had
the bird.
They had their version of Come and Get It, which they never put out.
Yeah, okay.
They had a bunch of songs they never put out, but they were not their best songs either. They put all their best stuff out.
Well, Tupac's had a bunch of hits since he passed.
Has he?
Yeah.
So that was stuff. Okay.
But it's so few and far between. I don't know. Maybe just every time I hear From the Vault, it's like, well, it's in the vault for a reason because it sucks.
Jimi Hendrix has a ton of stuff in Electric Ladyland. Supposedly there's stuff in there that people still haven't listened to. I don't think any of it was ever that great. I mean, Clark would probably dispute that. They put out a couple interesting records that I think people liked. But was it, you know, was it right up there with Red House and Purple Haze and his best stuff? No.
No way.
Why anybody that comes up with something they really believe is fantastic, you're going to get it out there. You're not going to want, I want to sit in the vault for a few years, and then when it's out of style, I'll put it out.
I do like, regarding Prince, that immediately his estate started licensing songs.
Oh, did you notice how...
It's already in a commercial. I forget which commercial it is.
Have you noticed how available he's on YouTube all of a sudden? All the Prince stuff is on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. No,
stuff that's never been on there.
That stuff's going to be licensed like crazy now.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of a shame because he was so protective of it.
Well, no, I felt bad when I was reading the YouTube comments because I was like, God, there's only 6 comments for this Prince song. How can that be? And then people are like, finally, it's up here, you know?
Because there was such a lack of things up there, I ran into him doing Honky Tonk Woman. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, he's so fucking good at it.
Prince doing Honky Tonk Woman on YouTube?
Yeah.
Can you bring that up, Jay?
Yeah, it's really, really good. Yeah, I don't know. That... It's funny. We expect everything to be on YouTube. So when you couldn't find Prince songs, it's like, hey.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm appalled.
Why are you so special?
He did his first record with Warner, though. He tripled his budget. And so they were so pissed they wouldn't let him go out on tour. And they were like, Prince, you better come through on this next record. You didn't know as much as you thought you knew. Ooh. And he went in there and he came up with that, I Want to Be Your Lover.
I want to be you.
I want to be your lover. And that was a number, that was like a number 11 Billboard 200 hit. I mean, that was a big hit. Number one R&B, and then it was like, phew, off to the races from there. And, you know, 1999, did you know he's 23 when he put that out?
Really?
23 years old. I'm convinced that the best...
That makes you feel like such a loser.
I know. It doesn't make you feel terrible when you're like 30 and you go, the Beatles' career was over at this point, you know? They've done 12 glorious albums, and what am I doing?
Well, I always talk about with sports, there's these different levels you hit with sports. You're the same age as athletes. Then you're the same age as retiring athletes. Then you're the same age as coaches, assistant coaches. Then you're the same age as head coaches. And the next thing you know, you're the same age as, like, dead players.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Like, because I'm at the age now where when I see coaches that are, like, 38, I'm like, what?
You have to be a coach.
I'm as good at Madden as he is.
As good at Madden.
As if that's what you go by. Is this Honky Tonk Woman? You might have to jump forward a little bit before you really... Well, no, you can hear it. You can still do it.
There's a video for it, too.
Yeah, it's a little... The video's a little weird, but I thought the music sounded good. Met a freaky far on Twain in Memphis. Tried to phone me upstairs for a ride.
a nigga. When 20 rolls ahead. Blue man knows it, baby. Blue my mind.
Why his guitar playing didn't get more credit until the Hall of Fame thing with the Harrison song?
Because it's like soul music or R&B.
There's always some really badass guitar playing.
Oh, yeah. But he was pop, too.
He was everything.
But look at the pop music back then. It never really had a hard guitar in it.
Not really.
In the mid-80s.
But anytime you watch him play guitar...
Oh, phenomenal.
Yeah, great. And I only saw him live once, but that was the one thing I went away with, which, God, I love watching him play.
Do you remember that when he played here at the Fox? I was really debating if I should go or not. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
I'm so pissed I didn't go. I'm so bummed out about that.
Yep, I was thinking about it, too, and I don't know why.
And then I saw a post from Dave Clark from Live Nation, and it just said, see your legends while you can. And it's so true. It's so true.
No doubt. Actually, this point in his career would have been a great time to see him anyway because, you know, he's still not old.
No, he's still
could play like hell. Although, you know, at this point, when he died, he couldn't play the guitar. It was too painful. He was playing piano at his shows. He just played piano all night.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He wasn't playing guitar at all.
Why didn't he get the Dave Grohl chair?
Sit on a toilet.
That's going to be the new hot thing for artists.
I love that idea. Just to show how humble they are, too.
Imagine like John Popper coming out and shutting one down. We have to bring out another toilet for him.
While he's singing.
See a roadie come running out with a punch.
He's right back on there.
Ridiculous.
Did you see the story over the weekend about how vinyl is bringing the record industry back?
The vinyl? TV show Vinyl?
No, Vinyl. Vinyl records.
Thank God it wasn't the TV show Vinyl.
No, that was terrible.
Everything's being re-released on vinyl. So I was just reading something today, and I'm like, why?
I know. No one has a record player anymore.
No. It's 'cause you know what it is? It's the purchasing power of hipsters.
Yeah, apparently it is, because it's all millennials, isn't it, pretty much?
Yeah.
And people my age who are stubborn, who stubbornly stuck to their turntables and said, I like the vinyl sound. Personally, I didn't really notice that vinyl sounded that good because my records were so scratched up, I was pissed all the time at how they sounded.
You didn't notice the warmer sound of analog?
Not with all the pops and scratches and crackles. When I got CDs, I was delighted because no matter how badly you treat a CD, it'll still play.
Well, that's funny with, and Jay, you might appreciate this, but with like digital music and people talk about the like the different rates at which it's recorded, I don't even notice because it sounds, I feel like my whole life everything's good enough. Like, do I need something better? This
is good
enough.
I tend to be that way too, but I will say this, when I really crank music, yeah, when it's digital, it
you
doesn't
think
so? Sound
oh,
quite
really?
As good if you really crank it. I mean, if you're really listening to it loud.
Yeah, which I do. I don't know.
Yeah. Although, you know, I got to tell you, CDs played in my car loud, they sound fine.
Yeah.
They sound very good.
That's funny. The best speaker system I have is my car.
Probably
I honestly
me too.
Feel like everything sounds best in my car.
Yeah. That's when I really like to listen to music loud in the car.
Yeah.
When I shouldn't have it that loud because I can't hear a cop or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they have siren, like flashing lights.
Yeah, they have a story. Yeah, and I've had that happen too, where a cop's been behind me for like three blocks, and I'm just like jamming away.
When I was Drew, I don't know if I've ever told you this. When I was about 17, I almost got T-boned by an ambulance because I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can tell you the exact intersection was in. I was Washington on Carpenter Road and on in between Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, and I'm just cruising westbound on Washington, rocking out. Next thing I know, I'm going through the green light, and I was like, holy shit. Like it was enough where I was really freaked out. And then it's one of those things where you look around and go, oh, that's why everybody's pulled over.
Yeah. No, it don't make sense.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. What an idiot.
Well, if you had the music loud, how would you know?
Oh, I know. I kind of learned a lesson then.
What were you cranking? Do you remember?
Oh, hell, I don't know. Probably something with too much bass as a kid.
in the rock and roll world today, by the way, there is some news. Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne are splitting up.
And all I can think of, one of the first things I thought of was Clark years ago saying about how much he so loves her. Remember when he made
Sharon Osbourne?
No, he made the bodacious statement about Ozzy and how much
he loves her.
Yeah. Which clearly, he loved her so much, he cheated on her multiple times.
Cheated on her all the time. He cheated on her. She just revealed, this must have been something that was in the brew, because on her talk show, isn't she doing the show with four other chicks?
Yeah, the talk. Okay. Talk or the
whatever it is, I don't know.
The cackling chick show.
As soon as I knew what it was, I said, "Okay, I'm not going to retain anything from this because I'm not interested."
But, yeah.
Although I watch The View from time to time. Anyway, it's not at a time when I just don't really watch shows like that. But whenever that time is, I don't know what it is. But anyway, she revealed on that show that Ozzy banged a couple of the nannies.
Yeah, Josh caught him in bed with two of them, right?
Yeah. And apparently that was her prelude to revealing that he is currently banging his hairstylist. But I want to say this. I just read Lita Ford's book a little while ago, and Lita Ford said that Sharon is crazy, as in crazy jealous.
Really?
And was constantly accusing Ozzy of banging Lita Ford.
Yeah, well, they did a song together.
Right. It was Ozzy's biggest hit.
Really?
That's his biggest hit.
Lose your eyes forever. Is that what that was?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Her biggest and his biggest hit.
Now,
the hairdresser is pretty cute, I got to say. I'm looking at it right now.
But here's the funny thing. Whose career is, like, hotter right now? Sharon or Ozzy?
Well, Ozzy's will always be hotter.
Well, because he has the catalog, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure.
So why is... Well, do you think... Well, you would assume she filed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And
what's the point? I mean, they're living opposite lives anyway.
I don't know. It's every time I read about him, she's with him. You know, whether he's doing interviews or, you know, reading about him, he kept coming up with this Scott Ian book, by the way, which is pretty damn good.
From Anthrax?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not an Anthrax fan at all, but I started looking at this book when I was in the bookstore, and I was like, wow, this has got some interesting stuff in here. I'm not an Anthrax fan, but I bought it anyway, and it's really one of the better, I mean, it's a really good rock bio.
You ready for a prediction?
Yes.
Ozzy's going to start drinking again.
Oh, yeah. Without sharing around to badger him, sure.
To badger him.
He's going to start doing everything again.
To badger him. That's the only reason he got sober years ago was because she badgered him and it finally worked.
Well, I think to make it stick, she had to stay on his ass.
Did you? I don't know why that reminded me. Did you see The Simpsons on Sunday?
No, I didn't.
Marge was nagging Homer about the list. He goes, I laminated it. And he shows the list.
Uh-huh.
And, and then on the back, I have this to remind me. It's a picture of Marge, and it says, nag, nag, nag. So true.
Oh, what a great show.
Funny.
Yeah, so Sharon, I don't know. For some reason, I don't believe Sharon really wants to divorce him.
Mm.
I mean, don't you see a reconciliation
coming? Then why do it?
Because I think she's so pissed, she wants to freak him out. Just to scare the shit out of him.
He moved out of the house. He's living in the hotel.
He'll change his mind.
Yeah, after a wild bender in the hotel.
I don't know, maybe not. Maybe if free from Sharon for any extended period of time, it may suddenly become
badger.
Wow, this is wild. I don't take shit off anyone now. This is the best.
He'll come back down to earth, though, and realize he needs someone to take care of him in a way.
Yeah, I
would
think so.
It's funny, she was not...
Why can't the hairstylist take care of him? She's 45, she's healthy, she's young, and
what is
vibrant.
Wrong with this hairstylist? Who looks at Ozzy Osbourne's like, I gotta get a piece of that?
I don't know.
I need that inside me. Ugh.
I can't even fathom a person that young, wanting to be with anyone like that. It's like, is it really worth it?
Why not?
That's the only path you have to finding your way into some money.
Why not just make out with his wallet? I mean, it's really the same thing.
Yeah.
Stick his wallet inside you.
Overcharge him for the haircuts.
Overcharge him for the haircuts.
But you really have to screw him to, I mean, seriously.
that'd be a vast overchargement.
Yeah, that would have to go pretty far with that. But cut his hair every day. Tour with him. Ozzy, you need me with you all the time. Your hair's gotten horrible lately.
Sharon wasn't on the show today, which, whatever. Do we decide what the name of that show is? Is it The Talk? No, it's not The View. It's the one with Les Moonves' wife from Big Brother.
Oh, right.
Julie Chen. And she was making all these apologies as to why she wasn't there, which... why not be there, I guess?
Can you bring out one of the stories?
She's never been... my point being, she's never been shy to address something.
Well, maybe this is real, whereas in the past it's I think it's BS. Real. Yeah, I think it's real, too.
Yeah.
And so, it's killing her.
Said she goes the Ripa route to take some days off.
Right. Yeah, the Ripa, she really took a lot of shit for that, and it was a bad idea. She took one day off, maybe it would have been not a big deal, but...
And in a way, she was right to be pissed, but you can't, absolutely. You're going to lose the second you act like a baby.
Yeah, she should have just shown up and gone through the motions and then done her thing.
I don't know if you saw this, but when Ripa was on her, near her pouting tour, every time she was spotted on the street walking, she had a different book with her, with a book title. Did you notice that at all?
No, what was the point of that?
So, one day she was carrying Malcolm Gladwell's book, David and Goliath. Yeah. Kind of pointing out that she's David versus Goliath of ABC.
Oh, please.
But what's funny is and there was another one, too.
Making $16 million a year or whatever. No, $20 million a year.
What?
Anderson Cooper's book.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper's book about him and his mom. And there's supposed to be all these.
Boring.
I know.
Boring.
I had a friend who asked me if I watched that documentary on HBO.
I actually watched a little bit.
Did you really? Gross.
Boring. Boring. Oh, boring.
But the Ripa thing, boring. The Ripa thing cracked me up because every time she was carrying one of these books, she's got a backpack on. Put the book in the backpack.
She's wanting everyone to see what book she's reading.
Yes, it's very transparent.
Oh, Kelly, she's so well-read.
So cerebral.
Sharon Osbourne did not appear in The Talk on Monday after news of her split from husband Ozzy Osbourne following 33 years of marriage. Sharon is currently expected to return to show on Tuesday after letting staff know over the weekend she would be taking a personal day. She's expected to address the breakup on air when she returns.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Did she address it today, though? She didn't, did she?
No, she was off today. Today, quote unquote, when we're taping this is Monday.
Okay.
Tuesday, she'll be there.
Now, before we get started, as you can see, Sharon is not here today. There were many tabloid headlines this past weekend about her and Ozzy, rumors and speculation that they've split up. Sharon understandably took today off. We are sending all our love out to her and her family. What about Ozzy? And we ask that you do the same. Meanwhile, a source tells ET an extramarital affair is behind the split. The Sun's the first report Ozzy been having an affair with 45-year-old celebrity hairstylist Michelle Pugh. Pugh, who works
Pugh. Los Angeles. Any relation to Charles?
Charles's sister. She looks just like him. She works at Mesh, was the Black Sabbath rocker's hairstylist. Ozzy's now staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Well, that doesn't sound bad. He's at the Beverly Hills Hotel. He's with this 45-year-old.
The news with Pugh, by the way, Charles Pugh,
he's not fighting the case anymore.
And that really slid under, I thought, the consciousness of the news.
I agree.
Like, by the way, Pugh's going to start paying.
Yeah, that should have been front page news.
I thought so, too.
He's basically admitting it. But he was busted. Everyone knew what went down there. It was obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, they had text messages. They had voicemails. I mean, he's a fucking creep.
Yeah. He's really into lighting, too.
Yeah, and that was really disgusting. This kid, who wants his new Game Boy or whatever, actually does a video of himself walking around nude. Not gay.
It is weird.
That is weird. Well, this 28-year-old coach today, this middle school
basketball
coach, got busted.
Huge.
He was beating off 15-year-old kids, apparently.
Oh, God.
And those kids testified that they saw him doing that to some other kid. They saw him touching some other kid.
And they they didn't think that it was a little weird?
Yeah, they did, but I'm just amazed that this thing didn't bust out sooner because the guy was so blatant about it. He's sending them messages like, oh, look, here's some pictures of me nude beating off. I'd like you to send me back some of the same. And... You look at this fat ass, not that if he was a skinny guy, I'd be turned on or something.
No, but it is grosser. Fat people are grosser, I'll admit. I'm grosser.
He's a fat 28-year-old coach beating off some 15-year-old kid who's not even gay. It's like, dude, he's not even gay. What the hell are you doing?
Ew, why? What did they get out of it? What did he promise them stuff?
He just wanted them to do the same. He just, look, I'm your coach, and I'm coaching you to beat off and send me the video.
It's the power position.
Yeah, beat off on your phone, send it to me, and I'll send you one back, even though you're not gay.
And I'll give you a coupon for 15% off at the Humane Society. The Vic Tayback package.
How could Pugh, during all that, I'm trying to think, was this thing with the kid, that was going on when he did his infamous getting in shape and look at my shirt off and how hot I am now.
Yeah. That was the same time.
How could he think, if I got busted doing what he was busted doing, I would go underground. I would never show my face to the world. This guy acted like, no big deal. I'll beat this thing. It didn't happen.
Ego out of
control. Look at how much weight. He is just.
Where is he now?
A sick fuck.
Is he just hiding
out? He's a waiter in New York.
I know he got, didn't he get fired from a couple jobs?
Yeah, because the TV cameras were waiting for him outside the restaurant.
Don't you just want to go there and see if you can get in pew section just to rag him?
Yeah, or just carry a sign outside the restaurant.
Pew.
Molester, waiting on you inside this restaurant?
Wow, good.
I really grew to dislike this guy. I mean, I was not a fan when he first ran for city council.
Yeah.
And he was pulling some bullshit then with his records and his finances, exactly, and his campaign money, and there was a lot of bullshit, and he never really had a satisfactory explanation for any of it. He just thought he could do whatever he wanted. I don't know, there's so much of that in Detroit. It just seems like, it's like the guy, you know, the guy Robert Davis,
yeah,
who was constantly going after people in Highland Park.
The guy
Detroit.
Who gets rock over the open meetings law?
Yes, that guy.
He's being released from prison, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he stole from Highland Park $200,000.
More, well,
Highland Park says it was more like $500,000.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But nonetheless, he's getting out. And today, there's a story about him, and he's talking about how easy it is to steal money from the school system.
And
how
now,
easy they make it.
He wants things to change, right? He wants more oversight and all
he
that.
He wants to help be a difference maker. And he's going to law school. It's like, dude, you just got busted stealing $200,000 from the city of Highland Park. Just screw your law license because you're not going anywhere with that. No law firm's going to want you. You're nobody. You're done. You're a loser.
But he admitted the whole he was taken away and kind of enamored with the idea of being this rising political star.
Well, he thinks he's going to go right back to that position. I mean, isn't that why?